The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What up, world? Welcome on and all to another episode of Ocho Live, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name is RJ Ocho. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on Ocho Live. You can watch us live. I know this is kind of a shock every day, every single day at about 3 p.m. Central Time, sometimes a little earlier, sometimes a little bit later. You can watch on my Twitter, I should say, at RJ Ocho, or a Periscope on the Blog and the Boys Facebook live feed. You can watch on YouTube Live, the official Ocho Live YouTube channel. It's been a while. You can also catch us on the rewatch every single day at bloggingtheboys.com. You can also listen to the podcast version of the show by downloading and subscribing to the Blog and the Boys podcast feed. Got lots of podcasts and lots of different shows there for you. Talking the Star, Bruising the Boys, the 750 with two-time Super Bowl champion Tony Casillas, and of course, Ocho Live. And look, I know it's been a while. And by the way, if you're watching, however you're watching, can you please let me know? If you're on Facebook, can you please have a Facebook comment and let us know that everything's good? I think it is by looking at Facebook. If you're watching on Twitter or Periscope, the Periscope feed is a little glitchy. So if you're watching there, can you do me a favor and could you tweet at me and let me know that it is working? I'm at RJ Ochoa. Appreciate anybody that has the time to do that right now. If you're watching later, obviously it is later. If you're listening to the podcast, obviously it is later as well. And if you're watching on YouTube Live, if you have a chance to send me a tweet and let me know that everything's working, that would be appreciated as well. Some quick housekeeping before we get to the show. It does appear that Facebook is working. The software that we use to power Ocho Live has been broken. It has been broken for a few weeks now and has not allowed us to run the show in this capacity. My computer that I use for this has been like on the fritz, and so it was just a perfect storm of everything not working. Still no interaction on Twitter. Appreciate those of you that are watching. If you are watching there, if it's not working, then this message is falling on deaf ears. But it does seem like Facebook is stable at the very least, the Blog and the Boys Facebook live feed. So appreciate all of you who are tuning in. We should be back to normal operations here on Ocho Live. So again, apologies for the absence. But the last time we spoke, I believe, on Ocho Live was the night that the Dallas Cowboys lost to the Washington Redskins when Papa Ocho was with us at Casa de Ocho. And a lot has happened since. The Cowboys have fired Paul Alexander, promoted Mark Colombo, brought back Hudson Hauk. Jason Garrett went to the World Series. The Cowboys were on a bye. Facebook is good. Thank you, Gary, one of the commenters, letting us know that Facebook as well. The Cowboys played on Monday night. If you do subscribe to the Blog and the Boys podcast feed, you did hear our Sounds from the Locker Room episode of Ocho Live, where you got to hear from Jerry Jones, Zeke Elliott, Jalen Smith, Amari Cooper, a bunch of people. Go listen to that if you have some time. I think it was really interesting. The Cowboys lost 28-14 to those Tennessee Titans, and today marks Wednesday, November 7th, 2018, so happy hump day. By the way, thank you, Trey Pruden says, the show is good so far on Periscope and down with Dak Prescott and Jason Garrett. That's kind of where everybody is. Thank you very much, Trey, at Trey F. Kennedy for tweeting in. So sorry that we can't totally get the Periscope comments up and running, but appreciate those of you that are tuning in there. So I think that is all the housekeeping. And if the show randomly goes off for a second, I did not die. It was the software. So appreciate those of you being concerned in advance. But Cowboys are 3-5. lost to the Tennessee Titans. Jerry Jones said on Monday that he will be extending Dak Prescott. Seems like Jason Garrett is safe for now. Seems like Scott Linehan is safe for now. Wednesday was a very big news day. Connor Williams, Dallas Cowboys starting left guard, is going to have his knee scoped, so he is going to miss about a month. And if you know anything about knee scopes, you know that it could be longer than a month. So who knows what the deal is with Connor Williams. A lot of people, when it comes to the offensive line, are going to chirp that the Cowboys should kick Lyle Collins back over to left guard and start Cam Fleming at right tackle. They did go get Cam Fleming for a reason, but if you know the Cowboys, you know they probably will not do that. Also, on an injury note, Sean Lee, who did pull up in the middle of the Monday Night Football game against the Tennessee Titans, does have a hamstring injury, and according to the Dallas Morning News, is going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. That is very not good. Although the Dallas Cowboys are 3-5, they are technically in the playoff hunt. They are technically in the mix for the NFC East crown, but I know that a lot of you rolled your eyes when I said that. That being said, today, another bit of news that doesn't technically concern the Dallas Cowboys is Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant, Dallas Cowboys all-time leader in receiving touchdowns, is going to sign with the New Orleans Saints, who are the class of the NFC. The last game we saw the Saints play was against the Los Angeles Rams, where they kind of did prove that they're the best team in the conference. So now Drew Brees will have Michael Thomas and Dez Bryant. I mean this with no slight to Tony Romo, but Dez Bryant now has the best quarterback he's ever played with in Drew Brees. He now has the best head coach that he's ever played under in Sean Payton, and he now has the most talented person across from him that he's ever had in his career in New Orleans Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas. So you have to imagine, at the very least, that Dez Bryant is going to have some form of success. You think about it, the Saints certainly don't have offensive problems, but if they want to bring Dez Bryant in, they certainly, know a lot more about football than I do. But so the Saints have Dez. The Dallas Cowboys have Amari Cooper. That also happened since the last time we talked. Again, apologies if you've been looking for Ocho Live on a daily basis. We should be back to normal on our daily routine. Again, appreciate everybody on Twitter letting us know that the feed is up and running on Periscope. Thank you very much to those of you tweeting in. So let's kind of start. I don't know where to start, honestly. Daniel Timmons on BTB's Facebook Live, he says, I'm ready to get off the Sean Lee roller coaster. Look, Sean Lee, let's just say he misses 6 weeks. That's almost the rest of the season. You think about it, the Dallas Cowboys are 3-5. They have the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. We'll get there in a second. They have the Atlanta Falcons next Sunday. Both of those are road games. The Cowboys have yet to win on the road this season. Then they have the Washington Redskins on Thanksgiving Day. 7 days later, they will put Gil Brandt in the Ring of Honor, something else that's happened, as Dez Bryant makes his return to AT&T Stadium. 11 days later, the Philadelphia Eagles will show up at AT&T Stadium. Then the Cowboys will go play the Indianapolis Colts. They'll come back for the Bucks, and they'll go to the Giants on the road to end the season. I'm not one to speculate. I think it's kind of irresponsible to speculate, but it's kind of hard to see how Sean Lee is going to be playing for the Cowboys in 2019. Honestly, I mean, they've already got his replacement in Leighton Vander Esch. Jalen Smith is playing well. The Cowboys seem set at linebacker for some time. It seems like Sean Lee's time as a Cowboy, maybe perhaps in the NFL, is nearing its end. Jay Risch with an opinion that a lot of people have on the blog and the Boys Facebook Live. He says, make Lee a coach. They have most of their former players as coaches, none of which are winners. Actually, most of the former Cowboys players are announcers. Monday night was Jason Witten's return, which coincidentally came on the one-year anniversary of Tony Romo's return. We posted the tribute video that the Dallas Cowboys played for Witten on all of the blog and the Boys social channels. So I think if you're doing sort of, this is, I guess, a good time to do this since we've had some time between the last Ocho Live episode and this one. And again, if you're jumping in late, apologies for the delay. Blame technology. That's what I'm doing. Sort of a state of the Cowboys, if you will. Sean Lee, again, it looks like might have played his last, or is in the middle, I should say, of his last season with the Dallas Cowboys. That's what it looks like. It's kind of hard to rationalize how Sean Lee could be back. He's already missed a couple of games this season. He's going to miss 4 to 6 more is what's being reported. You're talking about Sean Lee could miss double-digit games for the Cowboys this season when it's all said and done. That's not a good thing. Eric Doxson on BTB's Facebook Live, he says, I also see Lee retiring after this year. I agree with that take. And, you know, while I did joke that most Cowboys former players were announcers, if any former Cowboy, and this is putting Lee in that category, if any one of them were to become a coach, Sean Lee kind of feels like the one of all of them when you really think about that. But I mean, the Cowboys have problems beyond Sean Lee. The Cowboys have offensive problems that, you know, we can't even begin to solve. I mean, you think about it, the Cowboys, this whole funk, and I think we all agree here, this whole funk that the Cowboys have found themselves in began last season in Atlanta. And you'll remember, before the Cowboys went to Atlanta, that game was on November 12th, 2017, so we're almost at the one-year anniversary. Before the Cowboys went to Atlanta, they had just beaten the Kansas City Chiefs in what was Tony Romo's homecoming. And that was a really impressive win for the Cowboys. And I know it feels like forever ago, but that really, truly, totally, absolutely was an impressive win for the Cowboys. And ever since then, they have been broken. Ever since then, they have just been a shell of themselves. Ever since then, they have been this sort of, you know, walking coma of an offense. Since then, the Cowboys have played 16 games, with the first one being in Atlanta last season, the second half of 2017, and the first half of 2018. Since then, in those 16 games, the Dallas Cowboys have scored 17 points or less 10 times. The Cowboys have scored more than 17 points only 6 times since they went to Atlanta last season. And it's no coincidence that in all 6 of those instances where the Cowboys scored at least 18 points, they won. They won all 6 of those games. They are literally undefeated in this particular sample size. And not so coincidentally, in all 10 of the games that they have played since they went to Atlanta last season where they have scored 17 or less, they have lost. So the Dallas Cowboys are 6-10 over their last 16 games, and that's what they play like. They play like a 6-10 football team. You think about it, Curtis Payton on BTB's Facebook Live, he says Atlanta broke Dak. And again, more tweets coming in. Thank you very much for letting us know that we're stable on Periscope and Twitter. If you're watching on YouTube Live and you have a chance to tweet in, we just want to make sure that's working too. But I mean, they're playing like a 6-10 football team. The Cowboys lost on Monday Night Football to the Tennessee Titans. All right, this is, and I mean this with no disrespect. I love the NFL and I love NFL history, but the Cowboys lost to the Tennessee Titans. The Titans. They have actually, I know this is shocking, the Dallas Cowboys have never defeated the Tennessee Titans at AT&T Stadium. They've played them twice. In 2010, they lost, and in 2018, just a few days ago, they lost. They have never, again, this would be one thing if it was, you know, a storied franchise, if the Cowboys had never beaten, you know, even if it was like the Buffalo Bills. At least that's a legitimately old, powerful, sort of renowned cornerstone franchise of the NFL. They've never beaten the Titans at AT&T Stadium, although obviously originally it was Cowboys Stadium. But this is, you know, we're at a point, and I mentioned the Atlanta game in 2017, and a lot of you said that that game broke Dak Prescott. I don't know that any of us necessarily thought this then, and I know nobody wants to say that they thought this then right now, but at that time, I think it was easier. I don't know if it was easy, but it was easier to rationalize what was going on with the Cowboys because Ezekiel Elliott had just been suspended. That was the first game of Zeke's suspension that when the Cowboys were in Atlanta last season. He had just been suspended. Sean Lee had gotten hurt. Surprise, who is hurt again. Tyron Smith had gotten hurt. Dan Bailey was also hurt. I mean, I think we all sort of allotted that and kind of just chalked it up to just a general funk that the Cowboys had found themselves in. It was a perfect storm of crap. It was all of this stuff that had really just kind of assimilated into one pot and stirred to make this horrible potion that really kind of drowned the Cowboys for 3 games. In fact, you'll remember that game in Atlanta, the week after that, the Cowboys hosted the Eagles on the night that Jerry Jones was honored for going into the Hall of Fame. And after that, they played the Los Angeles Chargers on Thanksgiving. Those 3 games in a row last season, Falcons, Eagles, Chargers, the Cowboys failed to even score double-digit points. That was the first time in the long-standing and storied history of the Dallas Cowboys that they failed to score double digits in 3 consecutive games. And in spite of all of that, the Dallas Cowboys still retained the man in charge of that offense over the offseason in the form of Scott Linehan. And whoa, 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 I know this is really shocking, but Scott Linehan's offense is not good in 2018. I tell you guys, it truly, I know we haven't OHL lived in a while, but it really is just flabbergasting that Scott Linehan's offense is bad because nobody saw this coming. I mean, am I alone? I mean, obviously I'm joking. This is, you know, the unfortunate part about this, and I tweeted this on Tuesday night, is this was was totally predictable. This was very predictable for the Dallas Cowboys. It was very predictable what this offense was going to become. And Eric Doxson notes on Blogging the Boys' Facebook live feed where the Cowboys have kind of logjammed themselves. Eric says, if we gave up a top 15 pick, I'll be kind of disappointed. However, Cooper looks like the real deal. This is an interesting thing to kind of discuss and to analyze because Amari Cooper, and granted, we've only seen him play one game as a member of the Dallas Cowboys. Amari Cooper looks for real. He does look, and I say this in a vacuum, he does look like he's worth a number one pick. He looks like he's worth a first rounder. He looks like a first round talent. That's all I'm saying. I think we all agree with that. However, you do have yourself in a, you know, between a rock and a hard place if you're the Dallas Cowboys, because now it's kind of hard to say, well, we want to rebuild. And maybe, you know, drafting a wide receiver would have been part of that rebuild, but it's hard to rebuild if you do have a new coach next season. And a lot of people think that Jason Garrett will be gone. It's hard to envision a rebuild when you don't have a first-round draft pick. That's a really hard thing to overcome. And so the Cowboys have found themselves there. The Cowboys seemingly, and I don't know if it's just Jerry Jones or anybody, but Jerry is the one who said on Tuesday that he plans on extending Dak Prescott. So the Cowboys are conceivably as all in on Dak Prescott as they can get. Now, I will say also, and I wrote about this at bloggingtheboys.com, and if you're joining us late, appreciate, you know, everybody who was looking for Ocho Live in our little, you know, what should we call it? Our little, what is it called when a show goes away for like Christmas? What is it called? Like a break? I don't know what the break is called, but either way, the point is, you know, Jerry wanting to extend Dak isn't the worst idea ever. If you're extending Dak Prescott for relatively reasonable money, that's not the worst idea ever, because the possibility does exist that a new offensive coach comes in, or a new offensive coordinator, whoever, that somebody comes in and that Dak Prescott finds whatever made him great his rookie season. That is technically, in the world of possibilities, possible. And if that happens, you do want to have Dak Prescott under contract. So having him sign some sort of Blake Bortles-ish deal that he got last offseason wouldn't be the end of the world. That's not a dumb idea. But if the Cowboys are planning on giving Dak Prescott quarterback one money, that is definitely not the best idea. Wesley Destiny on BTB's Facebook Live feed says, I feel so disappointed over the outcome of the season. Glad I caught this stream. Welcome in, Wesley. Thank you. Shout out to my friend Michael Pena, all the way from Brownsville, Texas. Hiatus was the word I was looking for. I don't know why that word was stuck in my brain. And thank you, Jay Rish, as well. I don't know why that word was stuck in my mind. But so we're back from the hiatus. The Cowboys, look, again, I think that that's a fair idea because Jay Smith on BTB's Facebook Live, he says, get Dak a new head coach, offensive coordinator, and quarterbacks coach. And I think it is fair to Dak, and really to the Cowboys in general, to see Dak Prescott with somebody else working him, to see Dak Prescott with a different offensive coordinator, to see Dak Prescott with a different quarterbacks coach, to see Dak Prescott with a different head coach. You do owe it to yourself to find that out. I know that there are a lot of people who are very, very sick of Dak Prescott, and I get it. I understand. I totally get where you're coming from. But you have to determine beyond a shadow of a doubt that Dak Prescott is not the guy. And I know that you might feel that he's not that guy, but I feel like right now we're only about 95% certain of that. That 5%, however small, it does still exist. And you have to find out, is all of this, are these inefficiencies, are these ineptitudes, are these a symptom of who Dak Prescott is as a quarterback, or are they more of a symptom of who Jason Garrett, Scott Linehan, and Kellen Moore, if you want to include the quarterback's coach, are as an offensive staff? And I wrote, you know, at the beginning of this season, back in the preseason, that Kellen Moore was probably the least impressive new Cowboys head coach. And you can go read that post at bloggingtheboys.com. The comments just were not kind. The comments said that we hadn't seen anything from Kellen Moore. I think the fact that the Cowboys hired Kellen Moore was kind of, you know, ridiculous. And I mean, Kellen Moore is a bright football mind. We've all heard that. But it was ridiculous with the context of the situation. This was clearly, I mean, very obviously, an important and critical year, not just for Dak Prescott, but for the Dallas Cowboys organization and offense and Scott Linehan and Jason Garrett. So much conceivably was riding on this season. We knew that way back in January, yet somehow, some way, somebody, whether it was Scott Linehan or Jason Garrett, decided that they wanted to partly bank on Kellen Moore's first year as a coach in the NFL with Dak Prescott. And I think that that was a glaring mistake that the Dallas Cowboys made. Bobby Pine on BTB's Facebook Live, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Bobby, says the most overrated offensive line in the NFL. And I think that, you know, and we're still getting tweets. Thank you very much, everybody. You know, the Cowboys offensive line has not been good. It has not been good. It hasn't been bad, but I think they definitely are overrated. The Cowboys' offensive line still gets treated and touted like this premier group when they're clearly not. The Cowboys' offensive line is no longer the strength of their team. In fact, let's take your comments, if you can get them in on Twitter or on the Blog on the Boys Facebook live feed. What would you say is the strength of the Dallas Cowboys? If you had to pick one position group, one overall group, what would you say the strength is? I know a lot of people are going to say nothing, they're terrible, blah, blah. But if you had to pick one thing, because I have an answer in mind, we'll get there in a second. But the Cowboys' offensive line has been subpar. Tyron Smith has been subpar. Obviously, they're missing Travis Frederick with the Guillain-Barre syndrome. Connor Williams now is going to miss some time with the knee scope. Zach Martin has, I think, been the most impressive. And Lyle Collins has always kind of struggled playing right tackle with that move that started last season. And so the Cowboys offensive line's not playing well. Dak Prescott's not playing well. Zeke Elliott can only do so much. And now the Cowboys have a star wide receiver, potentially, who's still learning this entire offense. On the Blog and the Boys podcast, Blog and the Boys Facebook live feed, Bobby says the cheerleaders are the team's best unit. And I actually agree with Manuel Chapa, the linebackers. And Marshall Dean says that as well. Everybody's saying this. Curtis Payton, Chris Smith saying linebackers. That is the strength of this team. The Cowboys only really, essentially, I want to say really only because the Cowboys defense does play well, but the Cowboys linebackers are far and away their depth, far and away their best, sort of point of emphasis on their football team. And that's because Sean Lee is going to miss some time. And I still believe that the answer is linebackers. The Cowboys have Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith, and even Damian Wilson's played well. And so you think about it, that's a really strong position group. Yes, the Cowboys have a nice front and the hot boys and all that, but I still believe if you graded them by position group, the Cowboys linebackers are better than the Cowboys passers, because the Cowboys have DeMarcus Lawrence and then kind of whatever else they get. That's kind of how they roll. I do think it's worth noting, as we are halfway through the season, and thank you to those of you who are joining us on Ocho Live. Sorry about that hiatus. But Byron Jones has played extremely well. Byron Jones talked a lot on Monday about how it was just kind of weird for the Cowboys. In fact, I think the sort of overall takeaway, and if you didn't get a chance, I encourage you to go listen to the Sounds from the Locker Room episode of Ocho Live. You can hear from players in the locker room after the loss to the Tennessee Titans on Monday Night Football. Everybody had this sort of generally agreed upon idea that the Cowboys had all of this energy. Everybody talked about that. Everybody talked about how there was all of this energy on the Cowboys. And you'll remember they, running down, taking pictures in the end zone after the turnovers, etc. And then that energy just faded. That energy just got zapped out. And I don't know when that happened. I don't know if it was the interception, that Dak Prescott threw. I don't know if it was halftime. I don't know if it was just not getting anything going on offense. Maybe it didn't fade as much as it didn't continue to grow. But the Cowboys did have an energy, and they're just a team that can't really put together a whole game. Eric Doxson with a great question on BTB's Facebook Live. He says, what's up with Cheeto? Now, again, we just gave some props to Byron Jones, who's playing really, really, really well, playing like one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. But if you had asked me, and I know we did talk about this a lot over the offseason and training camp and preseason, I really believed coming into this season that Byron was going to be okay, that Byron was going to be serviceable. He was going to be kind of a good corner, but nothing special. I did not anticipate this. I don't know anybody that did. If you did, congratulations and kudos to you. I really thought that Cheeto was going to take this leap. I really believed that Cheeto Bayawuze was going to turn into one of the NFL's premier corners. I thought Cheeto, because he has a certain swagger about him, and I really believe that you have to have that at that position. Cheeto, and he's so athletic, he's so fast, he's so physical. I really thought that Cheeto Bayawuze was going to be the guy that was going to turn into just a star for the Cowboys on defense. And lo and behold, it's become Byron Jones and not Cheeto. And that is definitely weird to see. And, I think we're all certainly happy with what Byron's done, but Cheeto has not really grown that much through 8 games. Cheeto has just kind of looked like an average player, like an average defender. And in fact, at times, Cheeto's gotten beat. The Cowboys' only truly reliable corner, corners aren't just Byron Jones, but Jordan Lewis has played well. When we have seen Jordan Lewis, and I know that Golden Tate, roasted him a few weeks ago. But Jordan Lewis has come on well. Did not get to see him on offense against the Titans. Who knows why? We did see him on offense against the Redskins. But this loss against the Titans for the Cowboys was one of the worst losses in the Jason Garrett era. And I know that sounds kind of ridiculous. I know you're thinking, dude, it's just another loss. Come on, RJ, what are you thinking? But this loss was very embarrassing from a lot of perspectives. It was embarrassing from the perspective of you had 2 weeks and a day to prepare for this game. You had 2 weeks and a day. It was embarrassing in the same sense that the Titans are not a very good football team. The Titans are a very bad football team. They had lost 3 games in a row coming into this, and you let them come into your house and you let them punk you, and that's exactly what happened. It was also embarrassing, and I don't want to get too much into the psychology of this because I don't really think that holds a lot of water, but when Kevin Byard ran to the star at the midfield, you know, point and posed, obviously a la Terrell Owens, Byron Jones was the only dude who looked remotely bothered by that. It doesn't feel like the Cowboys have this gear in them, and the Cowboys have had that in seasons past, and that's why they've been successful, but Byron Jones was the only guy who seemingly had an issue with that. He did talk about that also in the locker room after the game, but so it was embarrassing from the perspective of you just kind of let them walk all over you, and it was embarrassing in the vein of not capitalizing. You know, I think that when we look back at this season, we're halfway in, and that's both shocking and very easy to believe, but I think when you look back at this season, when we all look back on it, a defining moment for me will be what happened after Marcus Mariota missed Corey Davis on third down. That was such a huge miss. He had that touchdown right there, but he missed him. The Cowboys caught a break there. And then when Ryan Succop missed that field goal. When that happened, that was a turning point. That was a momentum shift. That was a win. That was a huge just boost of energy that could have gone the Cowboys' way. And I really believe that that is sort of a microcosm of who they are this season, because that was a gift. That moment, that sequence, if you're watching or listening to Ocho Live, you obviously know what I'm talking about. In that moment, the Cowboys found themselves down by 7 points. They had just been given a gift. They'd been given a free life. It was like, you ever, you know, I assume a lot of you have played Super Mario before. I don't think I'm the only person to ever play Super Mario. And you know how sometimes in Super Mario, when you're running really fast, sometimes you just accidentally run into a life. You know what I mean? Like, you're running so fast and you're doing so much stuff that you just run into the life and you pick it up. Or maybe it's not a life, it's the little thing, the mushroom that makes you grow or something. And you're like, oh, dude, this is awesome. I didn't mean to do this, but this is a great benefit to me now that I have going on here. Picked up this extra life. Sweet. Right on. That's exactly what happened. The Cowboys were just running sort of full speed and just kind of fell into that. They caught that break with the Corey Davis miss and with the Ryan Succop miss. And so they were given a brand new lease on life in that game. And how did they respond? They lost 10 yards. They lost 10 yards in the moment where they were most needed, in the moment where they had to rise up, in the moment where they had been given a new lease on the game. They responded by losing 10 yards. And I feel like that says so much about who the Cowboys are, that this whole sort of thing presented itself to them, and it was begging them. Kind of the way the NFC East is sitting. The NFC East is sitting there, and it is begging the Cowboys to go out and to do something to win, and to win this division. But they just simply will not do it. And that moment was something like that. The moment was begging them. It was screaming at them. It was calling at them to go and take that moment and go do something. And not only did they not do anything, they literally lost 10 yards. It was very, 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 very disappointing. On Twitter, Jonathan Renteria, who's on Twitter at jrenter123, says the team lost its energy after Garrett's failed challenge. That's a great point. I think that challenge was very confusing when Jason Garrett threw that flag. That's a great point to sort of capture the break, maybe when the energy dissipated for the Cowboys, when it maybe left AT&T Stadium, walked out of the open roof and open doors that they had on the side. But it was a really tough loss to swallow. And the Cowboys locker room was really morose, really kind of down about it. And I think it's easy to understand why. They're 3-5. They're 3-5. And we're no longer at a point where you can say, well, this is why, you know, whoever's hurt, whoever's suspended, you know, this penalty, that, you know, whatever. There are no more excuses. The grim reality is that they really got their butts handed to them by the Tennessee Titans. And I say that, but they only lost by 14 points, but it was a lot larger of a loss than a 14-point loss. The reason that they're losing these games aren't because of any excuse. It's because they're bad. That's the grim, the hard, the cold truth, is that they are simply a bad football team, and now they have to deal with the consequences of being bad. They still have half a season to go, and I wrote about this a few weeks ago. The gauntlet is only just starting. I mean, if you thought that things were hard already, and I don't mean you specifically if you're watching or listening to Ocho Live, because I know that you didn't, because I know that you're a genius who checks out Blogging the Boys every single day. But the gauntlet is just beginning. This Sunday, the Dallas Cowboys have to travel to take on the Philadelphia Eagles, okay? There is a lot of air encircling this game. Now, I've said this a lot of times over the last week. This is the first game of significance that the Cowboys will be playing in Philadelphia in a long time. If you think about it, the 2017 game the Cowboys played in Philadelphia, the Eagles had clinched everything. They didn't play in their starters. The Cowboys won 6-0, not a big deal. 2 years ago in 2016, when the Cowboys went to Philadelphia, they had clinched everything. Dak Prescott barely played. That was Tony Romo's last touchdown pass, Terrence Williams, etc. Game of no significance. The last game that the Cowboys and Eagles played in Philadelphia that held significance was in 2015 when Tony Romo broke his collarbone. That's how long it's been. So first of all, this is your first game in Philadelphia that holds significance in 3 years. That makes it big. Number two, it's on Sunday Night Football. That makes it big. The Cowboys played in Philadelphia on Sunday Night Football 4 years ago in the 2014 game there. That was the Dez Bryant-Nolan Carroll game, so that certainly worked out well for them. But beyond that, the Eagles are coming off their bye. That makes it a hard game. Beyond that, the Eagles have a new wide receiver who they cannot wait to debut in Golden Tate. That makes it a hard game. Oh, by the way, also, the Philadelphia Eagles are literally reigning Super Bowl champions, and this is the first time that the Dallas Cowboys will play there while the Link has a Super Bowl banner. That makes it a hard game. And the Cowboys are coming off of a short week and in a state of a funk that none of us can seemingly identify, a route for them to get out of. It is just the worst possible set of circumstances surrounding a game for the Cowboys in quite some time. And they're going to have to try to go win it. That is a very, very inordinately tall order that the Cowboys are facing this Sunday against the Eagles. And then what is their prize for that? By the way, the Cowboys are playing two road games in a row right now, and they have yet to win on the road this season. So, next Sunday, after the Eagle game, however that goes, the Cowboys will travel to take on the Atlanta Falcons. Now, the Falcons just had a really impressive win against the Washington Redskins. In four of their five games at home, they've scored at least 30 points. The Cowboys have yet to break 17 points on the road, and again, they have not won on the road this season. Oh, and Atlanta just so happens to be the spot where all of this began, so it's a bit of, hopefully, an exorcism, but Jerry Jones called that the burning of Atlanta. It really feels like the burn is going to get a lot more intense, which is not a good thing if you're the Cowboys. And what is your prize after these very two difficult road games? A short week to take on the current division leaders, the Washington Redskins, on Thanksgiving. And then you get a little break. Then you get 7 days. Whew, everything's going to be all right. No, wait a minute, hold that thought, because 7 days after you play the Redskins at home, you get a home game, but it's the New Orleans Saints. Gil Brandt's going to go in the Ring of Honor, that's going to be awesome, but Dez Bryant's going to come out, he's going to go for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns, and things are going to get dark. And then, okay, we did it, we got a week and a half, what's next? Oh yeah, you get the Philadelphia Eagles at home, and the last time the Philadelphia Eagles played the Cowboys at AT&T Stadium, Jerry Jones got celebrated at halftime for going into the Hall of Fame. But that night, November 19th, 2017, was literally the worst loss in AT&T Stadium's history. So it is a very, very, very tough road ahead for the Dallas Cowboys. It is in no way going to get easier. They're going to have to do everything they can just to try to slow this train down, let alone stop it and push it in the other direction. But it's going to be fun to see him try. At the very least, it's going to be fun to see him try. So we did go for quite a while here on today's Ocho Live. And again, my deepest apologies, and appreciate all of you listeners and viewers who were waiting for this episode to get started back up. My deepest and most sincere apologies for the hiatus that we were on. I blame the technology. We are back and better than ever. Hopefully, God willing, everything seems like it's working. You can watch, again, Ocho Live every single day at about 3 p.m. Central Time. We will be back tomorrow at 3 on my Twitter or Periscope. That's at RG Ochoa. You can also watch along live on Ocho Live's YouTube live feed. Go subscribe to the Ocho Live YouTube channel. Also subscribe to the Blogging the Boys YouTube channel. We're bringing that bad boy back. We have a lot of plans for it. You can also watch Ocho live every single day on the Blog of the Boys Facebook live feed. You can catch the rewatch every day at blogontheboys.com. You can also listen to all Blog of the Boys podcasts on the Blog of the Boys podcast feed. We have so many things coming your way. Lots of content, lots of stuff. Make sure you are checking out blogontheboys.com every day. And again, appreciate those of you who helped out today, letting us know that the show was back up and running. That was very, very, very helpful. So all of that being said, we will see you mañana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.